Hello and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Amanda Hayes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Anna. Hello, everybody.
And this week we've been reading How We Disappeared by Jingjing Li. But first, book news, and there isn't much book news after Annie and I exhausted ourselves with all the awards, shortlists and long lists. But there are some very good book-to-film adaptations coming, and we love a film adaptation. So a couple to look out for. Well, there's Pet Sematary, which is the Stephen King, and then The Goldfinch by Don Donna Tartt is being made into a movie with Nicole Kidman, which I think comes out this year. I didn't enjoy The Goldfinch, but I know people absolutely loved that, so they'll be excited. And it would be really good on screen, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
The Expatriates by Janice Y.K. Lee,
which
is a fabulous book.
Especially if you were one.
Yeah,
an expatriate.
That's right. Yeah. So set in Hong Kong, which Amanda and I know well, and it's a really, really good read by Janice Y.K. Lee, who now lives in the States, but I think she has spent a lot of time in Hong Kong.
Yeah, she did live there when I was living there. She was there.
Yeah, and that's, I think, going to be an Amazon TV series.
Wow.
So that's being produced by Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I think. That sounds great.
That'll be really good. And Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple is being made into a movie with Cate Blanchett coming out in August. The Woman in the Window by A.J. Finn, who's been the subject of that New Yorker expose, is the movie which has been in the works for a while, starring Amy Adams. That'll be out later this year. And more immediately, The Moomins, which is one of my favourite series from childhood by Tove Jansson.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
You don't know The Moomins?
I don't know The Moomins.
Shock on Books on the Go. Oh, my gosh.
What a confession.
So it's Moomin, Finn Family Moomin Troll, and then Moomin Valley in summer and in winter, and they're just these creatures that she invented. She was a Finnish sculptor and artist, but then wrote novels for children, and she's also and recently they've been publishing them or republishing them. She also wrote books for adults, which are wonderful. She has a really clean writing style.
Translated, Anna?
Translated into English. And the Moomins are a religion.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
And particularly in Japan as well, they're hugely loved. And they have been adapted before, but this is a new adaptation for Sky TV. So it'll be out in the UK on the 19th of April and hopefully available here in Australia soon.
And what age group would that be targeted towards?
I would say all ages, but you could watch it from as young as, you know, 3, 4, 5. Right. But the books would be sort of age 10 and up,
right.
I would say. But they're just gorgeous. They're really...
Oh, I have to go and have a look.
Yeah, definitely. So that's our book news for this week. And now on to our book of the week, which is How We Disappeared by Jingjing Li. And this was recommended to us by Joe Dyer, the Adelaide Writers Week director.
Yes, indeed it was. So Jingjing Li was a guest at Adelaide Writers Week this year. She was born and raised in Singapore and currently lives in Amsterdam. She obtained her Master's in Creative Writing from Oxford, and her work has been published in various journals and anthologies. How We Disappeared is her first novel. So it's set in Singapore and it spans several decades. The central character, Wang Di, spends her childhood in a poor rural village. She contributes to the family finances by selling eggs and vegetables at the local market. In 1942, when Wang Di is 17, the Japanese troops invade Singapore and she and other village girls are captured and forced into sexual slavery in a military brothel for Japanese troops. Meanwhile, there's another storyline going on. It's set in modern-day Singapore, I think in the year 2000. 12-year-old Kevin overhears a confession of sorts by his grandmother on her deathbed, and he pieces together her secret, which sends him on a journey that ultimately unites the two storylines. Anyway, just a little bit of background information to put the book into context. So in February of 1942, General Arthur Percival, the British commander in Singapore, surrendered Singapore, which is known as the Fall of Singapore. Over 10,000 troops became prisoners of war, and women and girls were captured and forced to work as sex slaves. So when Japan invaded and destroyed Nanking in China in 1937, the troops committed large-scale rape of young women and girls, and this led to an international outcry. So the Japanese emperor at the time, Emperor Hirohito, he was concerned about the reputation of the Japanese troops, and this ultimately led to the creation of a system called comfort stations, which were essentially military-regulated brothels. And the aims of these stations included concealing what was going on from the international press, and compared with indiscriminate rape, reducing venereal disease, because the women in these brothels were examined by doctors. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting was, because many of the women captured could not speak Japanese, that reduced the risk of them communicating any military secrets. The subject of sexual slavery as a weapon of war, we've actually discussed before, haven't we, in the Nadia Murad.
It's become a theme. Not a theme I would have said I was seeking out.
Sort of unwittingly, in a way, I guess.
Unwittingly, but we did the Nadia Murad, and also Annie and I read The Silence of the Girls, which deals with the sexual slavery in the Trojan War.
It's throughout time.
Seems to be depressingly throughout time.
Anyway, before I go on, Anna, what did you think of this book?
I loved it. Yeah, really. I was so glad we read it. And it's a thing that happens with writers festivals or Adelaide Writers Week, I find, is that you discover authors that you hadn't heard of.
Absolutely.
And this is one of those great discoveries, and I was very thankful to Joe Dyer for recommending it. I loved the fact that it was that pleasure of being told a story first and foremost. She writes really cleanly, so the images are crystal clear and there's nothing extraneous, and she just lets you in and creates these wonderful characters who are, they're outsiders. Kevin with his big glasses.
Yeah, his Coke bottle glasses.
Coke bottle glasses. And Wang Di, who you meet as an older woman as well. And she is an outsider in her neighbourhood, but they're both such resilient characters.
They really root
for them. And so you're right in there with them in the story. And just an example, I could open onto any page really, but Kevin's having dinner with his parents and he says, "What's going to happen to Amar?" I ask the question again over dinner. Rice, sambal, kangkong, the soup that Amar had drunk and spilled. My parents continued eating, but a bit noisier, as if wanting to drown me out. I asked again, "What's going to happen to Amar?" Clink, 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 slurp. I set my chopsticks across the bowl. "What's wrong with you? Finish your food. I just want to know." "A bit, little too salty, this," my father said, poking his chopsticks in the stir-fried greens. "It's the sambal. The prawn paste I used in it must have been extra salty." "Boy," she turned to me, "eat your vegetables." And it's just that classic dinner scene that any child can relate to, when you're trying to get some information and your parents are avoiding it and
brushing you off.
Brushing you off. And it dawns on him that that's just a question he's not meant to ask, or that they're not going to talk about. And he adds it to his list of things that he's gleaned he's not meant to talk about, but it's never been explained to him, and he wishes they'd just give him a list of these are the things you can't discuss over dinner. But it's all very clearly evoked in those very simple prose.
Yes.
And I really liked that. And I loved the characters, and they're quite heartbreaking. I found it incredibly moving, especially as it got towards the end. And also of course, really interesting because you're getting this story of World War II and from that own voice's perspective of someone who's a Singapore Chinese affected by that surrender and the misnomer of the comfort women. Yes. And you see very much behind the scenes of what that really was. So you see how ill they get,
yes,
how they're treated.
They're starving.
You know, they're starving. They're lonely. They're young girls, really. They're 14 or, you know, teenagers.
She illustrates things like their illnesses. She talks about the hair in the drain in the bathroom and how more and more hair is falling out.
Oh,
so
it's
really clever the way she illustrates it, I think.
Yes, she alludes to it so that the reader understands exactly what's going on, but she doesn't. She does it in a light way and in a sort of poetic way almost, so that you're not just being given a list of symptoms of it, you know.
No. One of the things that I really liked about the way Jingjing Li wrote the book was that she shined a light on what it was like for women living in those times in Singapore. So, for example, women in poorer families or girls in poorer families were not educated, but the sons were.
Yeah.
And she also, I think for me, possibly the most moving thing about the whole book was what it was like for women like Wang Di when the war was over. She obviously survives, but there was such shame attached to her plight that she never spoke about it. And some people didn't accept these poor women like her. They accused them of being collaborators, which is outrageous given they were forced into sexual slavery. And some families disowned women like Wang Di. It's so sad. So she goes
really
through
sad.
Her post-war life carrying this huge secret in a way, such shame. She never even speaks to her husband about
that's
it.
Right. No, because she's been told don't ever speak about it.
Yeah, her mother tells her that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because having read the Nadia Murad book, she faced that dilemma well. She was very scared that that would be the reaction of her family, and she was fortunately welcomed back into the community.
Thank goodness.
But it was, you know, you can see that that's not that is a genuine fear that you would have. And it's interesting as well, this in How We Disappeared, it raises that question about silence and whether these survivors should speak out. And you can, it actually gives you more of an understanding of why you might not speak out and how hard it is. And especially as time then has passed. So the secret, you've sort of had that as a secret for so long, it's almost makes it harder and harder to start to tell that story.
I think also that Wang Di's husband, who is affectionately referred to as Old Man, he also suffered during the war and he doesn't talk either.
Yeah.
He does try a few times, but she shuts it down. She doesn't want to talk about it. But you know it impacts her because she has nightmares and
they're both affected.
Very much so.
Well, she more than he thinks it's better to not to speak about it. And that's how they should go on and move on. But they actually can't move on.
The other thing the book I think did really well was show how the impact of the war lives on in modern Singapore. There are so many families who were touched by it, who lost people, who, you know, were dislocated by it, whose family members were killed perhaps and they never found out where and why. And
there's those question marks.
Yeah.
It does. It shows the really long-term impact, doesn't it?
It
and
does.
Right down to Kevin, and then it shows how Kevin can't really start to define himself. So he's a teenage boy, but because there's a question mark about his father's father, he doesn't know who he was or they don't talk about it. And so it's interesting. It just shows how when you have these mysteries or secrets or traumas that have happened in your parents' lives, that flows on to the child and they can't form their own identity because there's this unresolved question about who they are.
And that's what Kevin is pursuing. He's pursuing the answer to this unresolved question.
Yeah.
But we won't give that away.
No.
And another aspect of it that I liked, which is sort of moving away from what we've been talking about a little bit, is that it looks at the lives of ordinary Singaporeans. It's, you know, there's so much published about crazy rich, you know.
Crazy rich sort of Asians is one level.
Exactly, yeah. This lifestyle that most people can't relate to. These are average working people in Singapore.
Yeah, I really liked that too, just their day-to-day, the food, their jobs, the, you know, getting from place to place, the sort of community around them, the fact that Wang Di has to move house and the just she's subjected to government policies and things like that.
Yeah, so I really loved it too, and I think it shines a light on a really interesting era in history that we don't know a lot about. So apart from being a really great story, it's also educational.
Yeah, no, really good read. I'd recommend it.
Me too.
So that is How We Disappeared by Jingjing Li. And next week, Andy and I will be reading Lost Children Archive by Valeria Luiselli from the Women's Prize long list. And then Amanda and I are excited.
We are excited.
We're going to read Spring by Ali Smith.
So it's number three in the quartet.
It is. Mm. And it's finally here. So we can't wait. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Amanda?
I am on Instagram at Amanda L. Hayes 99.
Wonderful. And if you have a chance to rate and review us on iTunes, that would be great because that helps people find the podcast. Thank you. And we'll see you next week. Bye
for
now.
Thank you. Bye.